go on with another question or two that I want. This is now the sermon. The bad part is now finished. So now you can all smile and love me again. If I tell you St. Elmo's, for what is St. Elmo's famous? St. Elmo's. Any one of you know St. Elmo's in Windhoek? It's at Merua Mall. Okay, am I the only pizza eater in church? Any of you know St. Elmo's? Christa knows it. I can't believe it, guys. Okay, I thought you all would know it. Let's try another one. If I say Italy, give me one or two things that you can, you know, put an equation mark next to Italy. Yeah, it's a country. Yeah, true, true. One or two other things? Pasta, yes. I would think about maybe Venice or things like that. I want to try another one or two. I hope you can get this one. Please help me out. I thought this morning it was good examples, but I'm beginning to doubt now. If I say CTM in Windhoek, what are they famous for? Tiles. Thank you, ladies. Tiles. Okay. Now, if I tell you the devil, what can we put here? What would you say to me this morning in the same manner? Okay, can I have a hand, please? Yes? Sorry? Yes? Liar, yeah, liar. What else? Sin, yes. I also, myself, okay, Leanne wants to give us one more. Hell, okay, devil and hell, definitely. I want to tell you lies and deception. That's also two things I believe that definitely goes hand in hand with the devil. As St. Elmo's and Iron Crystal, like me, the only people that know it, are famous for their pizzas. But okay, that's just something I want you guys to know. It's a little, I just wanted to get your attention and want you guys to be involved a little bit. Let me read you a scripture from 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now we know that the devil loves to deceive, he loves to kill, steal, and destroy, etc. And he loves to take us captive to do his will. And as you guys said, it's evil, it's sin, it's hell. We can use many other synonyms for him. Now, we know from right from the start of Scripture, in the Garden of Eden, there was deception. The snake or the devil, he came. Eve was deceived. She did something she was not allowed to do, and we're unfortunately still reaping of the consequences of that act. But fortunately, Jesus Christ has redeemed all of us, so the story has a happy ending. But I want us to speak a little bit. I think the name of my sermon, Anna, if you can just go quickly back, it's actually it's the title said Solid Food. Now I want, that's not about St. Elmo's, but I want you guys, I'm going to walk a little road this morning, and I want you guys to follow with me, that we all can see something, and I want you all, I'm going to ask you by the show of hands, who in church has ever been deceived? I have. Most of you also have. So please don't think this morning, I'm not dealing with deception this morning, I'm okay, because usually when you think that way, you're already a little bit into the trap of the devil. The dictionary says the definition of deceive is to mislead, delude, to cheat, betray, fool, trick, bluff, misguide, outsmart, or seduce. Okay, so there's quite a lot of words that you can know. That's the ammunition that the devil use. Now, just to go back to Scripture again, you know, if we were to spend time with Jesus Christ in the way that his disciples did, you know, sitting, talking, going with him, I'm sure they would, all of you would at least have 10 very good questions that you want to ask Jesus. Now, his disciples, when Jesus and his disciples were sitting at the Mount of Olives, they were asking him a question as well. And they were asking about the end times and about false prophets and about things like that. And they ask him here in Matthew 24, where you can see the word deceive, you'll get it four times just in that one chapter. And they were asking, and they said, and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? So they're asking him, what will be the signs? Now, what's the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples? In the New King James, it reads, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. In the New King, In the ESV Bible it says, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. So it's very important. Jesus doesn't start to say about this is going to happen and that's going to happen and that's going to happen. The first thing he says is, see that no one deceives you. See that no one will lead you astray. In Afrikaans, so overtaling sê dat, pas op dat niemand julle mislei nie. Okay? Just that all of us can have the translation and understand exactly what Jesus was saying there. So it's very significant that that's the first phrase that Jesus is using. Now I'm sure, you know, as I said, many of us would like to ask him questions like that, and not always. Jesus gave the answer we thought he would, but he's giving us something very important here. Now, I'm just going to give a few examples of things that I believe that the devil is deceiving all of us, the people around us, a lot of time. It will be things like when you say to yourself, no one loves me, I will never find a marriage partner, God has favorites, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not clever enough. You know, when you start to ask yourself questions like that, you know, you can almost for a fact know that the devil is trying to deceive you. He's already planted seeds of doubt in your heart, and now you're asking yourself and saying, yes, but God has favorites, and he blessed this person or that family more than us, or this or that. And then you're going in a thing, and you're talking about it, and as I said to someone in the week, you know, that thought becomes like a pattern in your heart, and then it becomes like a high place, and then it becomes like a stronghold, and then I tell you, you are beautiful, and then you say, no, I'm not. You don't want to believe it. Okay, and that's a typical way that the devil likes to reason with us. You know, he will tell you so specifically because he knows probably where our weaknesses is and the things that we battle with. And then he will come and he will speak. To young ladies, it will be certain things. The older woman, not older woman, Blanche, you guys, I'm talking more mature people, older sounds a bit difficult. But we all know when we were young, in our teens, what were the things that the devil attacks us with. For young men, for young ladies, I'm not going into that. But it's really important that we know. So I want to encourage you, if one of those examples that I used this morning, if you battle with something like that, then you can be sure almost the devil is trying to deceive you. But we're not going to allow it. Okay, in Hebrews 13 verse 9 we read, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which has not benefited those devoted to them. I'm just going to focus on that first part again. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Now, how will we know when a teaching is solid, and how will we know when it's a bit diverse or strange? Some translations use the word alien. You know, it's foreign to us. It's important, guys, that we can know when someone comes to you and is trying to sell you something in terms of a doctrine or a teaching. You know, there's many, many sermons that you can go on the internet and listen to. But if you speak to mature guys, then they will tell you, yes, but they are very into this, or maybe very into that, or no, this is very solid, or it's very biblical. Okay? So it's important that we can understand and discern in our everyday life what is from God, what is biblical, and what is not. That we won't be carried away by strange doctrines and teachings and things. I hope you're gonna follow with me this morning. Now guys, why does the devil want to come and deceive us, and what does he want to steal from us? I believe the first thing, if you can believe a lie like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not a favorite of God, or something like that, then there can become a bit of distance between you and God. And when that happens, you know, then the devil can start to mess with your thoughts. And the ultimate prize for the devil is if he can steal your salvation. If he can get you to a place where we call you are backslidden or anything like that. It's bad, hard words that I don't even almost want to use. But I believe it's important that we do. So that's one of the first primary. That's like the jackpot for the devil. If he can get you to a place where you say, I doubt a bit the existence of God, or maybe Jesus was just a historical figure, and you know, it was people that wrote the Bible, and there was no inspiration by the Holy Spirit. If he can get you in that direction, where he can start to deceive you around important things like that, you know, then you're on very dangerous ground. Now, let me just put it in perspective this morning. I want to motivate us as a church. That's why I said solid food. I want us to go on to more solid food. And if you're already having a lot of solid food, then you can have just more and more and more solid food. Okay? I'm not speaking from a place where I think 80% of us is deceived or this or that, but I'm going to walk with us a road, and I want you to see what I want to show you this morning. The next thing that I think the devil really would like to steal from us, apart from our salvation, is our spiritual growth. If he can get us to a place where our spiritual growth basically slowed down or maybe starts to decline a little bit, then he's very happy, okay? Because then you are becoming less of a threat, how do you say, to his kingdom. Then another very important thing where I believe the devil in his eyes has done a great work in the past few generations in a country like Namibia, is in our family unity. If the devil can come into a family and he can break it up, you know, then he really feels good, because then he can achieve so much in hurting adults, in hurting the kids, in messing up, because there are so many open doors when something like that happens. So it's things that I'm telling you guys that I believe it's important. It should be something or things that we look out. Then fourth, the devil loves to bring offerings. You know, that's why most of the time when someone comes to my office and they speak to me and I see there's something wrong, I almost immediately want to ask them, listen, have I offended you? Because it's so easy. It happens a lot of the time, and it can be a small group facilitator, it can be me, it can be the church, it can be many things that could have happened. And I, if I ever offended any one of you guys, I humbly apologize. I hope I haven't, but things like that does happen from time to time. But offense, that's why John Bevere wrote a book on it called The Bait of Satan. And he will throw it out, and if you can be offended by me or your small group facilitator or the person leading the worship or the kiddies church or anything like that, then the devil can really come into your life, and then you can say to yourself, yeah, but you know, the church, oh, they are ugly with me, or they're not nice, or maybe I'll just go to another place, and then you are there 6 months, and then the same thing can happen. Then another thing, marriages. The devil loves to come to deceive us. You know, one time I heard a speaker that when he was speaking on marriages, and maybe I'm speaking to the older people now, it's just a good bit of advice. You know, especially for older men, they work hard, they've got a young, beautiful secretary, and now they see her all the time at work, and she looks very great and neat and everything, but his wife at house, she's got to deal with 3 kids, and she's got a job, and she doesn't always look, this is an Afrikaans, if you are deur 'n ring kan trek. And now slowly, if you're not a godly person, and you're not planted in the Word of God, and in your relationship, now you can slowly start to think, but yeah, that girl's more beautiful and she gives me a lot of attention. Meanwhile, my wife is just yapping and going on with the kids and stuff. That's the typical things. It's not examples from the archives. It's stuff that happens all around us all the time. It should be things that we have big, our eyes, we must look like almost like a binocular that you will be looking around. And if you sense or spot any of these things, then you should go back and pray about it and really be careful. And then lastly, obviously there's many more examples, but that I feel this morning is church. If the devil can get you to think unbiblically about church, the role of church, the function of church, your function in church, being involved in church, anything like that, then it's big marks for him. Because if he can get you out of the body of Christ, he's a happy guy again. Okay, so I think you can see the examples I'm trying to show to all of us. And it's small things. It's small things. It never starts with a big thing. Sometimes it does, I guess. But usually it's small things. And it's, as I said to someone this morning, it's like a little stone in your shoe. You're walking and you can actually continue walking, but if there's a stone in your shoe, it's not nice to walk fast or to run. It will irritate you. Okay? So I want to tell you guys, that's the typical things that the devil likes to deceive us about. Because if he can get into something like the church, your marriage, family life, things like that, our salvation, those important things, then he's got a big smile. So I want to say, Spirit, speaking the Spirit this morning, we're not going to allow that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. So how do we ensure that we do not get deceived or backslide or anything? Because if I'm correct, I put up my hand just now, and most of you did as well. So all of you know that sometime, somewhere in your life, over the past years, the devil has got it right. to God you deceived. And I'm talking about, not now, about people thinking you are deceived if you support another sports team than they do or anything like that. Just on a lighter note, I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about biblical things. I'm talking about the things that is important to God. Now let's read, and this is the scripture that I really feel God has for us for today. It's from Hebrews 5 verse 12 to 14, and then also 6 verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read it to you. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. That's the word of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Who were here last week? Henny preached about the word of righteousness. Okay, so that light must go on now. You remember that three categories, being self-righteous, unrighteous, or righteous before God. So it says here, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Now I want to say to you guys, I'm enjoying scripture, reading scripture. This past year, I enjoy it more than I guess ever before. I feel I'm growing. Pastors need to grow as well. We need to grow a lot. But I believe it's so rich. That's why those of you are watching carefully, you'll see I'm preaching a bit different this year than maybe last year. If you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you can ask me what is different. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Then, let me just go into that before I go to verse 6, verse 1 and verse 2. I want to break it up for us. Verse 12, I'm going to read it. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Okay? Now, the author of the book of Hebrews, we don't know who it is. There's a lot of speculation, but we're not sure. But he's writing to the Jews, to the Hebrews. Now, one of their biggest enemies was going back to Judaism. Now, I know many of us, our challenge spiritually is going back into religion. You know, talking about dead works, about thinking if you pray and if you go to church, then God loves you. But if you listen to any sermon last week, we will know you can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. Okay? Now, he's speaking to these guys. Now, I don't want to say this morning, guys, you are bad, you all should have been teachers. I said I want to motivate all of us that we can go forward. But I feel that God is showing us the scripture. So he's saying to these guys, you should have been teachers by now. You should have been people. Now, a teacher is someone that understands. A teacher, and I love that word, illuminates. That means if you are preaching about someone, then you make it easy to understand. I remember at school, our math teacher always said, if you can explain it to your mom at home or to grandmother, then I know you can understand it as well. So a teacher understands something about scripture, about God, about doctrine, and he can teach that. Okay? And now he's telling these people, the author, listen, you guys can't have solid food. You must go back to drinking milk. So that was people at a certain stage, they were growing. But now what's happening? The growth has declined a lot. Then he goes on to verse 13 and says, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word as righteousness, since he's a child. So he's telling them, listen guys, then you are immature. Then you're not ready to be teachers yet. You should go back to milk. Now, I most people sitting here this morning, if you go back to a diet of milk, you're soon going to get very hungry. Amen. Okay? My little girl, my daughter, she can live on milk. That's fine for her, but she's 9 months old. Okay? And even she's having a little bit of solid foods from time to time. But us, all of us, we can go back to having just milk as a diet. That's not going to work. Then he says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So if you're mature, you're going to be able to distinguish between good and evil. Now I said in the beginning, the devil loves to deceive us. So if you're mature, you're going to pick up on it just like this. You know, if you get like a experienced counselor, someone that really can hear God's voice as well, when someone walks into the room and is starting to tell their story, he can very quickly discern what's happening in that person's life, where, what's wrong and stuff. Okay? But if you are young, then you can listen to the story and maybe you can even believe it. Okay? So that's why it's really important. And as I said this morning, I believe, and I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to testify a little bit about my own life. You know, in 2004, that was not a good year in my life. I finished my degree in 2003, 2004, I moved to Belleville, I started working there. Now in a week, I attended the Shofar Christian Church's small groups in the one church in Tigerberg. And then on Sundays, I went home to Stellenbosch every weekend, and there I went to church. So I was a little bit with the one foot in the one church and the other one in the other church, even though both were Shofar churches. But the thing was, and I didn't know it then and I couldn't see it, I wasn't really submitting anywhere, because, you know, I'm just joining in the one church this and in the other church that. Now, it was circumstances, but I can tell you, I wasn't planted that year, and the devil got me. It wasn't a good year for me, and I made a lot of mistakes, you know, because if you're isolated or not planted very well, I can promise you the devil is going to get to you so much easier. And you know what? It's usually the small things. He starts with small things in your life, and then it grows to bigger things, and then one day you do something really stupid and sinful, and you think like, how has this happened? But then that first day, or when it started, you haven't spotted it. But I'm going to give you a good biblical tool to check that this morning. Good. So my personal growth went downwards that year, and as I said, I made a lot of mistakes. Now let's go on to Hebrews 6 verse 1. Tell someone next to you, we are not going to be deceived. Let me tell you why I always do that. If I stand for 40 minutes with this arm like this, and I'm finished preaching, it almost doesn't want to go back again. So that's just why I have a sip of Oros, and that you guys can tell the truth to the person sitting next to you. Is it okay with you? Hebrews 6 verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of the instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So he's talking to Jews, the author, and especially about them going back to Judaism that he doesn't want them to do. Okay, because at that stage, as we have today, they had a great expectancy that Jesus Christ will come back soon. Okay, and many of us, we still say today, Jesus will come back soon, and I really think you will come back soon, but it's 2,000 years later than them. You know, so many of them had first-hand testimonies about people who walked with Jesus. And now he didn't come back, and he didn't come back, and persecution came, and now the guys were starting to doubt. Now he's writing to the Hebrews and he's saying to them, listen guys, don't go back to that stuff. That's the basic principles. But let's read that first sentence again. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. That is the English Standard Version. The New King James says it as follows. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Okay. Now they don't say perfection in the terms of being perfect, never sinning, never getting anything right, but they're referring, it's just another word, to moving on to maturity. So I want to say to you, the essence of this morning is, if we are more mature, if we have more solid food, and if you have a lot of solid food, if you eat a lot of solid food, spiritually speaking already, then I want to say to you, have more. It's good for you, because then you are less prone to fall for deception. Good. Now, there's something that I believe there's a few things in our time and the age that we live in that is things that's really, I want to say, killers. The first thing is the media. The media is bad. Do you agree with me? I think we all should just look at rugby, maybe soccer, and then, of course, wildlife and nature programs. The rest is bad for you. Maybe you can differ with me this morning, but I'm obviously saying it with a smile, because just be careful of the rest. Sport is good to watch. Okay. You can judge that. But guys, the second thing, the media is bad, as I said, because it's so there's so many things. All of us have internet, and there's so many stuff that can really harm our young spirits that we should really be careful of. But the second thing that I just feel I want to say and speak a little bit about this morning is the rat race. Guys, we're living a fast life these days. And together with that, everything that's around us, the devil will always use to further his kingdom. Okay? Now, all of us is very busy. I know it, because many times I ask someone, how are you doing, and this and that, and then I will say, no, no, things are rough, and it's busy, and I work, and my wife work, and the kids, and the church, and the this, and the that, and it goes fast. Do you agree with me? Is life fast? My dad always said, when he started in the late 1960s, beginning 1970s, working at the university, he said, the fastest way to get a document from Windhoek to Stellenbosch was to post it. How long did it take? Well, I guess less than a week. Now you can email 20 things like that all across the world. You can open it, you can read it. All of you that sit in the office and work with a computer, you will know that emails and things like that can very easily swallow your day. You know, if you're starting to reply and to respond and to this and to that, I'm not talking even about SMS and Skype and all those things. It's wonderful. But friends, we're living in a time where life is fast. Life is really fast. Friday, my day off, me and my boys, we were in town doing one or two things, and I bumped into a good friend of mine. He's in another church in Windhoek, and it's the first time I've seen him this year, and obviously we SMS'd or phoned each other once or twice, and you know, and he started to tell me, oh, I'm so busy, and then he says, I couldn't even go to church the last while. Now that's hitting the hammer or the nail on the head. You know, many times we think, because we're so busy from Monday to Friday, and there's a lot of things happening. Those of you who've got kids, it's sport, it's school, it's athletics, etc. The list can go on. That if we think, okay, we should just rest a little bit over the weekend, and maybe we should just rest a little bit and not go to church on Sunday. Now, I don't want to condemn this morning. This is not my heart. You guys know me. Okay, but the thing is, guys, we are tired. It's easy to neglect our families, and one of the biggest stressful thing, or the killers also of our age, is stress-related diseases. You know, I heard statistics in the past week that it says obesity, you know, has overtaken smoking as one of the primary causes of cancer. People are obese many times these days because of all the junk we eat, okay? Not getting enough exercise because we sit 8 or 9 hours in front of a laptop or maybe in an office or meetings and stuff, and we take in all that, let's say, bad stuff for our bodies, and we don't get exercise, and then you put stress on it, and then you can ask any GP, 40, 50 years of age, and men are especially prone to have heart problems. That sounds really negative this morning, but I'm sharing the facts with you. Okay. So, I know from my own life, many days, if I switch on my laptop when I get to the office, before I have quiet time, you know, then I catch myself at 12 o'clock and I still haven't had it. Because then I respond in an email, or someone Skypes me, or someone phones me, or this happens, one of you guys come and visit me, which I really love. But I know in my life, it's something I must start at the beginning of my day with quiet time. Otherwise, things get too busy many times. Okay, so together with this rat race, and maybe you're thinking, I'm not talking biblical or scriptural stuff, but I'm using one example out of our lives. Because we are many times running so fast, and we're busy with so many things, you're serving in this society, and you're doing that, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong, you just must discern for yourself. Then we might think, oh, I can tell you now this morning that you will probably neglect your quiet time, your prayer time, your worship time, your personal time, your time with your family, with your wife, with your husband. It's very easy to happen, guys. And I'm just putting it out there because when we are falling into that trap, deception is the next thing that happens. I want to ask you a question. How many of you has opened a Bible commentary the past week and read from it? A Bible commentary. There's a few hands going. The question, how many of you have used something like a Bible commentary in the past week? There's quite a few. That's very encouraging. That's very encouraging. Now, I'm just asking that because many times we will read scripture, okay? But then you only have half an hour before you need to finish, and then you don't have really time to read about the context or the background of the book of Hebrews or difficult scriptures you don't understand. And that's good for your growth. We can use many other examples as well about things that's stealing our time. You know, you need to be in the office at 7:15 or 7:30 maybe, but before that you need to go and drop the kids at school, etc., etc. Guys, that's the age we live in. So I want to hold it before all of us that you plan your time and your day wisely, that you have time to spend with God. It's not negotiable. You can't, as that one friend of mine, say, yes, but I've been so busy that I even couldn't go to church. And he wasn't referring to one maybe out of 6 Sundays. That's fine. That's fine if you have a family gathering or camping. There's a place for that as well. But I'm talking about every second week maybe. You can decide for yourself. In Ephesians 4, verse 13, I want to read to you, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and that's the key word, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's talking and saying that we should all be mature, that we should all be Christ-like. And then in the next verse 14, he says that, now that means there's a statement to follow almost, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So he says, be like Christ, be perfect. It's the same word we can say, be mature, so that or that you shouldn't be like children anymore and be tossed around between every wind of doctrine and anything that someone tells you. We need to be mature. And as I said, that I believe this morning is one of the keys to fight something like deception, that we can have it before us, and when God is speaking to you, that you will exactly know what it's about. Good. Now, one of the best tools that I believe all of us can have to that we can use as a check and balance in our own lives is the Word of God, is Scripture. Because if you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking now, Pastor is talking about deception, am I maybe a little bit deceived about church or about marriage or about myself or anything like that? Because most of you did say somewhere in your life you have been deceived. I also put up my hand. I want to say to you, the Word of God. The Word of God is looking like looking into a mirror. Now, if I look into the mirror, I'll see I didn't shave this morning. So I hope you have grace for me. Okay? But you will see something about yourself. Now in Hebrews 4 verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It couldn't be put more beautifully than it is. It's so beautiful. But it says, if you use the Word, it will be like a sword, like a very sharp knife that will cut in between a bone and marrow, and you will be able to see what's going on in your life. Now, I can tell you, if you haven't read Scripture for quite a while, then you will open it and you will start to read, and it will go bikkie stamperig en stoterig, maybe. Okay? But if you are in the Word of God daily, then you will be refreshed and you will know exactly what you're going to see in the mirror. But I tell you, if you for a week or something, you haven't read Scripture, you might be in for a surprise. Because just looking again at Bible school, the first Bible school one, first year, the DVD about Pastor Fred teaching. What's the first module of Bible school one? It's Pastor Fred talking about to discerning Scripture, to understand Scripture. Okay? Because when you open this and you have sinned greatly, you're going to feel convicted. Maybe if you let's say there was someone in church now that really are new in Christ, and that person has lived in sin now for a while, and he just pushes it all around the corner or puts it around under the mat in fear if he does that. But when you open the Word of God and it cuts, you're going to feel convicted. Now this morning I can tell all of us in an uplifting way, use the Word of God that you can see what's happening in your own heart. I want to read the New King James translation as well. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and the discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I really love the scripture. And I believe, guys, it's a tool for all of us to check, to see. You know, when you drive your car and it's very hot and it's maybe an old car, there's a little meter. The one will warn you to think the tank, the petrol tank or the diesel tank, is going towards empty. The other one will tell you, listen, your car is starting to heat up. Maybe it needs water. Now, this scripture says that about our spiritual life. When you go and you read the Word of God, it will give you a good indication where you are at. Are you growing? Are you declining maybe? What is happening in your own life? And then, depending where you are at, or what you feel, what you see in the mirror, then you can speak to your cell group, small group facilitator, or maybe come to me, or other mature Christian that you know, and you can ask advice or something. Or, on the positive side, if you really are full and you're excited, maybe God will give you a word. He will show you a picture that you can come and share in church, that you can bring to your small group. Okay? That's the wonderful. That is why this word, this oracle of God, is powerful and it's living. And it's even sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, you all will know, if you touch a very sharp knife, you know, and you do that, it can cut you. Now, it's even sharper than that. So you will know exactly where you stand. Not falsely. It's not like looking through smoke. I trust that you all receive this morning, and that we can all use it to see and to be watchful in our own lives, that the devil will not come and to slowly deceive us about something. So this morning, I want to encourage all of us to be mature. As I said, I don't want to preach to you and tell you you're deceived or anything. That's really not my heart this morning. But I believe that we should go on to more and more and more solid food. Amen. So, something that also that I felt in my spirit this morning, and I'm ending off with that now, is maybe sometimes you will hear something that your small group facilitator shares, or maybe myself, or someone other that's preaching or teaching, and then you will think, yeah, I know it for a long time. I know the doctrine of man, or the doctrine of sin, or the doctrine of baptisms. I know exactly what it's about, and it's great, and it's good to hear it again. But I want to trust you guys. I want to trust with you that our hearts will be open. Because when a true man of God, or a lady, a woman of God, someone that's mature, when someone preaches the truth, that person will always agree with it, and that person will always almost want to just go on with it. Okay? So I want to encourage you guys, if you hear something, I'm talking this morning, I'm preaching about deception, don't make the error to think, yeah, I know about it, maybe I've read a book like the Snare of the Devil from John Bevere or something like that. Don't make that mistake. Never think that you are safe and you will never be at the place where you can be deceived. Father God, I want to come to you this morning, Lord God, and I want to thank you for your word, Lord God, for the doctrine in that, Lord, for the good news, for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, Father God, and that we can come to your word, Lord, that we have it available, Father God, that no one will put us in jail for reading scripture. Thank you for every word in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Lord, and we want to say this morning, thank you that you inspired it, Lord God, that we can have it in so many translations, that it's available to us, Lord God. And thank you that your word is living and that it's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord God. And when we read it, Father God, that you speak to us, Father God, that you will speak to us about the questions in our own life, Lord God, the things we are battling with, maybe, Lord God. And Father, we know the devil wants to get to us as a church, Father God, to the ministries of the church, to our families, Lord God, to our kids, to our marriages, Lord God. But this morning, Lord God, as a church, we say no to him, Father God. We say, Lord God, that we are not going to be isolated, that we will be planted in your house, Father God, that we will be planted in the living waters, Lord God. And Father God, even though we think we are very busy, Lord God, that we will make adequate time, Lord God, that we can spend time in your word, Lord, that we can grow, that people will say of us, we are ready to be teachers, but not that we must go back to milk, Lord God. I trust, Lord God, that you'll speak to all of us this morning, and Lord, that you will show us, that you will lay it on our hearts, if you want us as individuals to worship more, Lord God, to pray more, Lord God, to read more of your word, Lord God, to be more in Christian fellowship, to be more involved in church. I pray, Father God, that you will stir it in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you said in your word, your sheep will hear your voice. Thank you that we can know that you speak to us, Lord. And I pray for all of us, Lord God, to have sound minds, Lord God, that we can think biblically, Lord God, and that all the media and all the things that is happening around us in 2011, the time we live in, Lord God, that every wind of doctrine, Lord God, that it will not come and deceive us, Father God, that the devil with his snares, Lord God, that he will not get to us, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you'll protect us against offense in our families, in church, at school, our workplaces, Father God, that we can be mature, Lord God, that if someone is out to hurt us, that we can be the better man, that we can turn our cheek, Lord God, and that we can take it and that we can bring it to your feet. Even though we are hurt, Lord God, that we can bring it to you. But Father, that we will not nurture that offense, Lord, that it will not grow into a tree in our hearts with thorns, Father God, and with bad fruit. Father, I pray this morning, I trust you, Lord God, that if anyone is battling with offense or deception or anything like that this morning, if there's anyone that feels that he or she should get to clean the house, should maybe sweep it, Father God, and that your word, your sword will cut, Lord God, I trust, Lord God, for deliverance and for healing. Father God, that you will set free, Lord God. Father God, that we don't have to walk with heavy yokes upon our shoulders. Father God, that you will minister to us, Lord God, daily, Lord God, that you can give us a word, Father God, that you can give us encouragement, Lord God, that we can say to each other, we love Scripture, that we can sing to each other in hymns and to songs and spiritual songs, Lord God, that we can uplift and build each other, Father God. And Father, I especially pray, Lord God, that the devil will not deceive us, any of us, Father God, that he will tell us it's okay to stand outside the body of Christ. Father God, you created church. You want this to be a safe place where we can grow and we can laugh and we can have fellowship together. And I trust, Lord God, that all of us will have that revelation, Lord God. And I also pray, Lord God, I know there's people that you want to add to us, Father God, that the doors will be open, that our hearts will be open to the people around us, Father God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you are sitting right now, as everyone is quiet, if there's any one of you and you feel you're battling a little bit with a thought, a deception, something like, I'm not God's favorite, maybe he loves someone else more, can you just all close your eyes for a moment, please? Maybe you feel like, I'm not beautiful, or I can't do this job, or maybe you feel in your marriage, you feel that I'm not a good father, I'm not a good husband or a mother, I fall short. And you're starting to believe that lie, that you, maybe as a child, as a kid in the house, you feel that, I can't please my parents. I never do good enough at sport or at school. If anyone is battling with a thought like that, I want to ask you this morning, it's nothing to do with me or the church, to come to the front, and if you feel you need prayer about that, if you feel it's something you must break with, and you feel it's just like you can't, it's just too tough, you cannot stop believing this thing about yourself. Maybe you think you're too fat or too thin. Guys, there's millions of things like that. But if you're believing any lie from the devil, I want you this morning to come forward. We would love to pray with you. If there's anyone else that has other prayer, you can come and stand at my right-hand side. Anyone that feels you need prayer in terms of deception or you really want to eat solid food, but it's just as if you can't, I want you guys to come and stand to my left. We would love to pray with you. Amen.